Well, greetings to you today in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is day four in our seven-day series. And what I've been doing the last 3 days is looking at some of the reasons why we as Christians should be doing the things that we do. Why should we do the things that we do? What would motivate us? What should motivate us to do what we do as Christians? You know, we're not saved by the things we do, but as Christians, we are created unto good works, and that we should be doing things. And I gave a list the first day. I've given it to us partially the next 2 days. And I'll just go through the list again, I guess. Why do you do the things you do? Why do you go to church? Why do you forsake all to follow Christ? Why do you live a simple lifestyle? Why do you give to the Lord's work? Why do you witness to lost people around you? Why do you suffer persecution with a good attitude? Why do you forgive? Why do you love your enemies? Why do you keep yourself from the lust of the flesh that wars against the soul? Why do you keep yourself from the love of the world? And there could be other things, other why questions there. But that's kind of the premise of this week is, why do we do the things we do? And, you know, even like in the area of missions, why do missionaries go to the field? Why should they risk their life? Why should they go to the remotest places of the world and maybe never even come back? Many of them never did come back because of getting sick or because of getting killed or whatever. Why do people go? And as we've been going through the last 3 days, we see that it's for Christ's sake we should do things. And it's scripture after scripture and different things that I've been trying to bring out to us in different areas, like in why do we lay down our life? And why do we forsake houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mother? And why do we leave all, you know, to follow Christ? And it's for Christ's sake. It's because of what he has done for us. And the day before that, let's see, why do we lose our life? And the day before that, why do we suffer persecution? Why should we suffer persecution and be hated by all men and also be betrayed by, you know, parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, like it says there in Luke? So it's because of Jesus. It's for his sake that we do these things, for the gospel's sake that we do these things, and for his word's sake. But today we're going to leave off the format of the last 3 days. And the reason why is because I read an update from a missionary, or he's soon to become a missionary overseas in Indonesia. And he's in his last stages of preparation before they leave, him and his family, and then also another family. And he wrote this article, and it's not very long, it's a few paragraphs, and I was just really impressed by it, and it just really spoke to my heart, because this is the message that I've been trying to share with us these last 3 days. Why do we do the things we do? And so I'm just going to read from this brother's article here. It's called Christ's Reward, the Fuel of Missions. And this is in the ABT, or All Nations Bible Translation, prayer email update, I guess is what it would be called. So I'm just going to read here. It says, recently I heard a message by Paris Reinhead entitled 10 Shekels and a Shirt. And I'll just insert my little comment there. I've listened to that message probably more than any other message that I've listened to over and over again. I haven't actually listened to it probably for several years. But 10 Shekels and a Shirt. I'll continue reading. In this message, Reinhead, not sure how you say his name, tells the story of two Moravian missionaries who left their communities to sell themselves into slavery in order to reach African slaves with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the two Moravian men boarded the boat and left the harbor, they faced criticism from others, knowing they would likely never return. The two men's response to this as they faded from sight was to cry out, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering." Okay, so I'm just gonna expound on what they did there just a little bit. The place where they were going, this island that they were going to, where this boat was going to, was full of slaves, and the island was full of slaves with as their slave masters, would have slaves there to get the work done, and people couldn't go there as missionaries. You couldn't go there as a missionary to reach out to anybody there. It was just against the law or whatever. And so instead of trying to go as a missionary, in a sense, what they did is they sold themselves into slavery. They became slaves so that they could go to that island and be a missionary undercover, if you might say. And so as they were leaving, people were saying, "You're crazy for doing what you're doing. You'll never return. You're going as a slave, and you'll never be able to get off of that island again." And what their response was, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering." So that was their reason for going, because of Jesus, and that he would receive the reward of his suffering, that there were souls there that needed to be told the gospel, and that some of them could be saved. And so anyway, I'll continue reading here. It says, "This story jarred me, challenging my purpose for serving God overseas. What is the primary purpose of our lives on earth as followers of Christ? Put another way, what is the most compelling reason for partnering with God in extending his kingdom, whether here or abroad, whether in America or overseas? Do we engage in this cosmic battle primarily to improve the lives of countless millions who live in abject poverty? Is that the reason? Do we go forth in Christ's name primarily to make disciples? Is that the reason? Do we face the onslaught of the enemy merely fueled by the desire to rescue people from a Christless eternity? While all these things are part of our mandate as Christ followers, they do not lie at the heart of God's mission, and thus should not form the primary motivation for our partnering with him. To accomplish the mission which God has entrusted to us, our focus must be extended beyond ourselves and others, improving someone's life, even rescuing that person from eternal torment, inevitably will lead to an inward focus, whether on ourselves as individuals or on our fallen human race. Our actions can only be sufficiently sustained by a vision that focuses unwaveringly on Christ. The entire canon of Scripture attests to God's desire to receive worship from the nations, from the Hebrew patriarch to the prophets and poets. The Old Testament resounds with the call to all nations to join in worshiping Yahweh, the one true God." And then he quotes here, he gives a reference here for Psalms 117 verse 1 and Psalm 67 verses 4 and 5. And I'll just read 117:1. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all ye people." Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. And then he goes on and says here, in the New Testament, the stage lights focus on the person of Jesus Christ and his dramatic role in accomplishing this goal of cosmic worship. The climax, which has been building throughout Scripture, arrives with the advent of Christ and the future hope of all nations coming to him. Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father's throne set in motion many things. the redemption of the cosmos or of the world, the vanquishing of the powers of darkness, and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Christ's goal was and still is to redeem people from every tribe and people and language. Because of Christ's sacrificial life and death, he is worthy to be exalted far above all principalities and powers. And then he gives a reference here for Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and I'll read that here. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of all men, or likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that every tongue, verse 11, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the writer here continues and he says, we go forth in the power of the Spirit, not because we are able, nor primarily because we want to rescue people from an eternity separated from Christ. We go forth in the mission of God for the sake of Christ, so that he may receive his due inheritance, the everlasting worship of all peoples. May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And so this was written by Matthew and him and his wife and family and another family. They're leaving the end of this year for Indonesia to become missionaries there. They're planning on translating the Bible into the language of the people there right now. And it's a very large Islamic people group that they don't have the Bible in their language. And so they're going there to in hopes to learn the language and then be able to translate it into that language. So that's my inspiration for us today as we consider the reason why we do the things we do. Why do we keep ourselves from the world? Because we love Jesus and because he deserves the reward of his suffering and so on. So let's just pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. I thank you for Matthew and Levi and their families who are soon headed over to Indonesia. We pray that you would give them great success, that you would watch over them, that you would bless them, give them sound minds, and watch over their children and their wives, Lord. And you just pray for the work there, that you would save many souls and that churches would be established in that place. And I thank you for those who called in today to the Daily Inspiration. I pray that you would encourage them to really see the reason why they should be doing the things that they do. And if they're not Christians, that they would turn their lives over to you and become born again and see Christ, who he is, the Savior of the world. Father, ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you want to call and talk to me sometime, I'll give you my phone number. It's 717-333-1786. And my name is Steve Clark, 717-333-1786. God bless you.